Genesis Christian Life Fellowship, a church committed to loving God, raising fruitful disciples, and advancing the kingdom. Enjoy this week's message.
Amen. Amen. I'm really encouraged to see Benedict, you know, consistently coming to church. Amen. You know, and I can see that there's growth happening in your life, and more greatly to see Stamford as well. Now, these guys have been traveling all the way from New Edenton. Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. By the time I'll come every Sunday, they are waiting outside for us. Amen. They come in very early. Let's give them a round of applause for punctuality as well, for coming in early to help and getting their hands dirty for Jesus. Now, this is the, is it the DMM? The discipleship was making movement. Amen. Amen. That is what Ben is demonstrating. Ben has brought his friend to church, and we should all be encouraged. Everybody, say, I am encouraged. And I'm going to bring somebody next week. And every one of us must make that effort, what? To bring somebody to church. Amen? Amen. Everybody must make that effort. We have to see you bringing somebody as well. Amen? Amen. And Auntie Gladys, want to see you bringing somebody. And Temi can bring about 20 people on his own. Amen. And Tayo can bring more people. Nege, Malak, all of us. Amen? Amen. We must bring somebody to church. Amen. We must be fruitful in the house of the Lord. And also, I really thank God for Anasi's new coach, you know, that she's doing well in the swimming. I can see an Olympic medal coming soon. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause for that. And now, I want us to give God thanks for everything that let's stand and give the Lord a round of applause. We want to thank God. Let's give God thanks. Let's stand. Let's give God thanks. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Father, your word says it's not by might, not by power, but it's by your spirit. We give you all the glory, Father, Lord. Lord, we give you all. Let's exalt his holy name. Let's thank him for our deliverance. Let's thank him for our healing. Let's thank him for our breakthrough. Let's thank him that he is our provider. Oh, let's give him thanks. Because the Bible says that in all things we should give thanks. Father, Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Father, Lord, I thank you that as I'm about to share your word, you would anoint my lips. I pray that no flesh will glory in your presence. I pray that, Lord, your convicting power will minister to your people. Your anointing will be released through me. You will anoint my lips. That every word that I speak will be altered by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That your word will bring conviction. Your word will bring strength to your people. Your word will bring elevation to your people. Your word will bring healing to your people. It will bring restoration to your people. Lord, I pray that your word will bring power to your people. In the name of Jesus, it will bring solutions to your people. It will bring new revelation to your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue the word that I thought on last week. What did I teach on? Last 2 weeks. We were talking about spiritual growth. Amen. Amen. And like I said to you guys, you know, if you don't write, you should always get pen and make your notes. We're talking about spiritual growth, and we are continuing to talk about spiritual growth. Today we were talking about the goals for spiritual growth. Amen. 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 So every believer must what? Must have goals. You know, when you become born again, you must know where your journey is going to end. You must really have a goal of where you want to end and how you want to end up in the faith. Amen. You know, how many of you, you know, would take a bus and don't know where you're going? Everybody that takes the bus knows the destination of their what? Of their trip. When you started from New Orleans, you knew you were coming to Enfield. So you have a destination. So you must also have a spiritual goal. Amen? Just like you have natural goals. But before that, I'm just going to read something here by William Law. He said, if you stop and ask yourself, why are you not so devoted as the early Christians, your own heart will tell you that it is neither through ignorance nor inability, but purely because you never thoroughly intended it. Amen? The reason why we are all where we are is because what? We have never intended, you know, to be where we want to be. Amen? That is why it's important as Christians to have a spiritual goal as where we want to go. Last 2 weeks ago, we were talking about spiritual growth. The first thing we talked about was spiritual growth is a choice that we must make. Amen? We all know that it's a choice that you must make. And secondly, it's a command by God. God has commanded us what? To grow. It requires diligent effort on our part. Yet, we are assisted by God in our efforts as well. And then we are blessed by God both in our life and in the life to come. Amen? Amen. And then we also talk the following week, we talk about spiritual growth is not often hindered by, it's often hindered by our low self-esteem. Amen? So too many Christians sell themselves short because they do not view themselves capable of attaining higher levels of spiritual growth. So, you know, it's very, very important that as Christians that we have our minds set up to have higher spiritual goals, amen, so that we will be able to achieve it, amen. So today we're going to continue and we're going to talk about the goals of spiritual growth. Our ultimate focus as Christians should be what? To be like what? Jesus. That should be the ultimate goal of every believer. Every believer must have that ultimate goal that they want to be like Jesus. How many of us want to be like Jesus? How many of us think we can never be like Jesus? If you think that you can never be like Jesus, then you will never be like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Because the Bible says that what? We should be what? Imitators of Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 verse 40, it says the student is not above his teacher. But everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Say to the person next to you, you must be fully trained. You must be fully discipled. It is very important as Christians that we allow ourselves to be what? To be discipled. Amen? The only person that wasn't discipled was Jesus. Jesus himself is God. Amen? But even him, we can say that he had to obey the word of God. Amen. He had to take instructions from his God, from God himself. So we can say that God himself discipled Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we all need to what? To be disciples. And it's also a command. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 to 20. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen? So God expects us to go and make disciples. God expects you to make disciples. Just like God expects all of us when you're married to have children, to be productive. Amen? We must also have spiritual children. God expects us to go there and evangelize and win souls and disciple them and see them grow in the faith. Even Paul made it clear that it is the very essence of our redemption. The very essence of our redemption is that what? Is that we disciple others. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says that, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Amen? So God, your life is already predestined. Before you were born, God knew that you're going to be born again. Amen? God knew you before you were born. God predestined you to that. Even though you were thinking that you made that decision, yes, you made that decision, but God has chosen you. You are a call out of God has called you to become a Christian. Because without God calling you, you can't become a Christian. I would say, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen? Say to the person next to you, thank God I'm chosen. So we are the privileged ones. So we are made in the image of God. Simply means that we are made in his likeness. We are like God. Say to the person next to you, I am like God. You know, and it's like this. You know, when God created Adam, now it's very difficult for you to say that I am like God, because you see all these things inside of you. Amen. But when God created Adam, God created a perfect human being. His body, his soul, and spirit was perfect. Amen. There was no sin in him. So it was easy, you know, if you was to say God created Adam perfect and Adam had an image of God, that is easier to comprehend than us now. After sin, it's much difficult for us to comprehend that we are made in the image of God. But thank God for Jesus. You know, thank God for the second Adam. The second Adam has come to make it possible for us to have that image again. Amen? Amen. You know, how many of us, you know, especially a lot of us, a lot of women wake up with a makeup, you know, they wake up and they have makeup on their faces. Why? They try to conform to a particular image. Amen? They try to make their image look good all the time. Amen? Why? Why do they try to, even men nowadays do makeup. Amen? Why do we wake up in the morning and try to have ourself look good? You know, it's because we want to portray a particular image. Amen. God wants us to have a makeup every morning. Amen. God wants us to have spiritual makeup. Say to the person, "Spiritual makeup." Spiritual makeup. Because we want to be imitators of Him. We want to become like the kid himself. So it's a goal of every Christian to wake up in the morning and say, I want to be like my kid. But if you want to become like your kid, it's not going to be in the outward of your body, your flesh. Because the Bible says that God is spirit. You know, the spirit inside of you is a perfect spirit. Amen? The spirit of God is living in you. The Bible says that God breathed in Adam. God himself came and lived in Adam. Say to the person next to you, God is living in you now. Therefore, you are made in the image of God. You see, if God is living in you, you are perfect. Amen? If God is living in you, you are like God. You see, that is the comparison. The comparison when people say God is, because if you look at the English dictionary, it talks about the outward appearance. But when we are talking about us looking like God, we are talking about God himself living in us. This is just what? Flesh. Amen. God wasn't made out of matter. Hello. Amen. But we are made out of this soil. So the only thing that can compare to God is the spirit. Amen. Which we have. You see, when you become born again, you are like your father, Jesus. When you are not born again, the Bible says that you are like what? Your father, Satan. So when you transform from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you take on the image of God automatically. Amen. So as believers, we must know that we have the image of God. We must be confident that God lives in us. The Bible says that our bodies is what? Is the temple of the living God. So God lives in this temple. So if God lives in this temple, I must walk like a royalty. Say to the person, I am a royalty. If you are a royalty, then you walk a particular way. You eat a particular way. You speak a particular way. Amen? You know, you play a particular role. You know your purpose. Royalties know their purpose. From before when they are born, they are discipled into royalhood. Amen? They are discipled. Amen? They are taught how to be a king. They are taught how to be a queen. The same way as a royal of Christ, you must be taught how to be a king. Say to the person, "I'm a king." I'm a king. Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent a kingdom, the kingdom of heavens. Can you imagine that? We are not representing the United Kingdom. We are representing the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God. That's who we are representing. We are not an ambassador for the U.S. We are ambassadors for the Most High, which is higher than any other nation on this planet. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Amen? Amen? So I'm encouraging us to know who we are in Christ. And to know that as Christians, we must take our faith very seriously. We must make our makeup. You know, today I was watching a movie the other day, some particular movie, and as you can see, the people with plastic faces. Why are people trying, you know, makeup? Not makeup. What's that called? Plastic surgery all over the place. You know, but we don't want plastic surgery on the outside. We want God to fix our inner man. You know, our old man. You know, the fact that you are born again now doesn't mean that your old man is totally dead. Because your spirit is alive, but your soul is being renewed. That's why you have to keep wearing that makeup. Am I making sense? Spiritually. You have to keep polishing your soul, because your soul is not safe. So if you have an anger issue, you still have the anger issue. Even though you are born again, unless God delivers you automatically. And usually from baptism, you can be what? You can be delivered automatically from that. But if you are not, you must continue to wear the makeup. Amen? You must continue to polish that area in your life. Shine it. You know, we are like diamonds. This is diamonds. When you pick a diamond from the soil, it's dirty. Amen? Or gold from the soil is dirty. So you have to keep polishing it to get actual gold out of it. You know, so there is a jewel inside of you that is waiting to come out. Until you work it out, you're still going to remain the same. The image of Christ will be tarnished. And somebody will say, hey, he doesn't look like a Christian. Ask the person, do you look like Jesus? Because when people see you, they must see Christ. We must look like our Creator. Oh, can somebody say amen? Do you look like Jesus? We need to ask ourselves, do I look like Jesus? When somebody sees me, will they see Christ in me? Will they see the image of Christ in me? The Bible says that Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? So spiritual growth involves knowledge. Say to the person, let's say knowledge. But not just natural knowledge. Natural knowledge on its own cannot help us to become what we need to go. We also need the grace of God. We need the Spirit of God and knowledge. You know what happens? Some people think that I can read the whole Bible and become a perfect Christian. No. You need the Spirit of God. You need a Comforter. You need the Holy Spirit that will teach you all truths. Because even though you can read a word in the Bible, and God can give you revelation, the Holy Spirit can reveal revelations into him about himself. God chooses to reveal himself through his word. You know that? God can open your eyes. You will see things that nobody will see about Jesus. You will have that revelation about you. And you will know God. Amen? So as Christians, we need to work our faith in knowledge. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen? Amen? So as believers as well, we need to work certain areas in our lives. And I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. It says, for this very reason. You see, the fact that you are born again doesn't mean that it's finished. Some people think that by born again and coming to church every Sunday is going to make you a strong Christian. I'll tell you what makes you a strong Christian. It's you literally wanting to grow in the Lord. Making a decision that I want to grow from this bad temper. I want to grow from this sexual sins in my life. I want to grow from every addiction in my life. I don't want this anymore in my life. I want to be a new creation. The Bible says that you are a new creation. The old things have passed away and everything has become new. So therefore, you're going to work those things that causes you, the old man is dead. You're going to kill it. You're going to bury it. You're going to say, no, this is not me anymore. I used to remember when I first got saved, I used to, if you cross me on the street, I'm going to cross you back. Amen? You know, and I'm going to follow you and curse you and do all sorts of things. But when I became a new creature, amen, I realized that there was once when somebody crossed me and I was going to swear and I couldn't swear. I couldn't swear anymore. I stopped swearing. And some of the things that I used to do, I stopped doing them. I found it was much easier to forgive people because I knew that the Bible says so. Not that it was easier, it's because God has given me the grace to be able to forgive people. So I made choices along scriptures. And as I made those choices, God gave me the grace to be able to forgive people very easily. And if you don't exercise your faith in forgiveness and forgiving people continuously, you remain the same. Say to the person, you remain the same. And you will lose that image of Christ. You will not look like Jesus. Amen? Amen? In the realms of the spirit, the devil will say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? Because you don't look like a king. You see, we should be a light in the spiritual realm. We should be like light, a blazing light. We should shine in the spiritual realm. So if there's darkness in our lives, it will block. How will, and the demons can see that, and that's how they attack you. They see loopholes in your life, they will attack you in those areas. Amen? So let's take 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. It says, for this very reason, make every effort. See, there's an effort there. To add to your faith goodness. You must add to your faith. That means that it doesn't come automatic. Amen? You must add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. You must take the word and read the word. Amen? You must familiarize yourself with the word and read other books and listen to the word if you don't like reading. You put the Bible in your phone and you are listening to it on a bus, on a train, when you're traveling. You are listening to it. Amen? You're listening to messages. You're always listening to the word. You're equipping yourself with the knowledge of God. And to knowledge, self-control. Now, self-control as a believer is very important. That as human beings, we exercise self-control. Very important. Because if you are in a world and you don't have self-control, okay, and maybe you lose your temper, you do other things. Now you're in Christ, you have to now kill that side of you. You must say, look, I'm not going to be upset with this situation. I'm now a new creation. The old things have passed away and everything has become new. Father, give me the grace. And then you are asking for the knowledge of God. Father, give me the grace in this situation. These things that upsets me. These things that annoys me. Father, Lord, give me the grace. And then God will give you the grace in that situation. But it's not going to happen straight away. It's going to be, you have to apply it and apply it and apply it. Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You meet God halfway and he will meet you halfway. And very soon you realize that what? You've gotten a new habit. Okay? Where you exercise patience. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be automatic and it's not going to come again. You will always be tempted again in that area. Constantly. And you must choose. You must choose not to be angry or exercise self-control. Amen? Amen? And when you do that, the grace of God will come upon you and there will be certain things that will usually annoy you, will not annoy you anymore. You must also exercise perseverance. Amen? Amen. You must exercise perseverance. You know, where before, the slightest thing you quit, the slightest thing I quit, the slightest thing I quit, the slightest thing I quit. Now you change that attitude. You're not a quitter anymore. Amen? You persevere until you see something through. Amen? You persevere. Perseverance. You persevere to see. And also it says here, verse 7, it says, add to your faith perseverance. Add to perseverance godliness. That is very important. As believers, to add to our faith godliness. And then add to your faith mutual affection. Amen? Amen. Mutual affection. Add to your faith, love. The Bible says that, verse 8 says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will keep you from being ignorant. Amen? So we need spiritual grace. God to give us the grace. And we must do this in faith. And as we do this in faith, we would exercise perseverance. We would exercise godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We walk in love. Amen? Amen. How many of us want to walk in love? It's when you're walking in love, you will automatically be walking in self-control. Because when you're walking in love, you are able to forgive easily. Amen? Bible says that love endures all things. So if you are not enjoying all things, you're not walking in love. You're not walking in the image of God. You know, some people talk about the image of God as if it is God's hair and his nostrils and everything. Maybe. But we are talking about the attributes of God. We are talking about God's character. We're talking about his attribute, the fruit of the Spirit. You are like God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's change. But, brothers and sisters, to know that there will be challenges when you're doing these things. It's not going to come what? Automatic. There will be challenges. It will require hard work. Say to the person, hard work. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. I'm not going to read that. Amen. It will require sustained effort. Say to the person next to you, sustained effort. That is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he would also reap. For if he who sows his flesh, he who sows to his flesh, of the flesh, will reap corruption. But if he who sows to the Spirit will also reap, will also reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So brothers and sisters, whatever you sow into yourself is what you become. So your environment is very important for your spiritual development. What are you sowing into yourself? Are you sowing corruption? Are you sowing bad environment, negative environment? What are you sowing to make you a better person? What are you listening to on a daily basis? What are you watching on internet? What are you watching on TV? What are you sowing? The Bible says that whatever you are sowing into you is what will come out. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what? Is eternal life. So can you imagine if you are sowing good things inside of you? Good things will come out of you. So we must sow good things inside of us all the time, constantly. And as we keep sowing good things inside of us, we would begin to look like Christ. And people will testify, as for this person, as for that person, they are like Jesus. And then the devil will say, Paul I know, Ben I know, but who are you? Amen? And then when you cast out demons, that's when they flee. Otherwise, they'll just look at you and laugh at you and tell you things you've not done and done. Amen. So as believers, we must learn to have functional abilities, functional skills, of which we learn to use in the body of Christ. So the question I want to ask is, what is your functional goals? What makes you function? Is it God has given every one of us gifts and abilities? In some of us, we've got loads of gifts. Some people have got loads. Like Brother Temi, he's got loads of gifts. The gift of worship. Amen. The gift of evangelism. The gift of prayer. And other gifts that I can't even mention. So many of them. You know, and some of us, we have two gifts. But as a Christian, we must discover these gifts. Amen? We must find them and use them to the glory of God. Because if you don't use your gifts, it will not be enhanced. Amen? It will not grow. The gift will not grow. So every gift that you have in you, you must discover them now that you're in Christ. How do you discover them? It's very simple. You don't need to keep asking God. It's where your desires are. God will put a desire in your heart to just help. When I first came to the church, my desire was just to help in the sound team. That's how it started. And I was just helping in the sound team, lifting big speakers, lifting them, doing it, driving the van, going from storage to storage, lifting things, weddings, you name it, we were there. Amen? And then a desire came to be a cell assistant. And then I just fulfilled that. Even that one I decided. Amen. And then another desire came to become a cell leader. And I was just following God as the desires led me. And once it's times I have a desire to reach the lost, and I'll go outside and be reaching the lost and just doing evangelism and on the bus, on the train, just evangelizing for Jesus. Amen? Because that's where my desires were leading me. So God will put a desire in your heart. So whatever God has put in your heart, now you must fulfill it. You know? I see my life. I see you with a desire of prayer and intercession. You must respond to that call. Amen? You want to pray all the time to God. Pray, pray, pray. There's a special grace on your life to do that. Amen? And I see the prophetic anointing or the seen anointing in your life. And you must continue to nurture it. Amen? And as you nurture it, it will come. You know, the Lord, as I was praying this morning, the Lord was revealing certain things to all of you. You know, and I pray that we would exercise it. Some of you, especially those ones who have got many gifts, be careful. The way you do is just follow your desires. If this season is worship, just follow the worship. If the season is worship. If the season is, because that's when you see the fruit. If this, because you've got so many gifts. If the season is evangelism, just follow that seed. And if you follow, you see the fruit coming out of it. So let your desires lead you. And you see the fruit of it. Because God can put you in a place for a season. And when that season is over, you must know when to move on to another ministry. And that's how you develop and you grow. Amen? For some of us, we have the gift of helping people. We just want to help people. You know, we just want to help the sick. We just want to help the poor. We've got a burden for the poor. Amen? And as you keep nurturing that, you will see that another burden will come, another burden will come, another burden will come. And that's how you grow and discover your purpose. Amen? It's not far from us. Amen? So as believers, we need to ask God. Because we are the body of Christ, the left hand cannot say to the right hand, I'm not part of the body. We are all part of the body. And if any one of us stop functioning in our ability, in our giftings, the whole church will suffer. Amen? The church must also equip you to fulfill that purpose. The church is designed like how we have discipleship training, how we have the home groups. This is all designed for you to fulfill that purpose. It is to edify you to fulfill that purpose. And also the church's goals must be similar to your own personal goals, as we've been reading there. You must have a heart for evangelism. You must have a heart in church planting. You must have a heart in worshiping God. You must have a heart in praying. Amen? These must be your goals. You must have spiritual goals as well. That is similar to that which is on the churches. So as you are fulfilling your personal goals, the church is fulfilling its goals. It works hand in hand. How can somebody say, oh, I'm in a church and I'm not growing? Why? Because you decided not to grow. You cannot be a church and not grow. And there's opportunity for you to grow. And I always say that, look, if I'm not promoted, I'll promote myself. How do you promote yourself? You can go and start a cell. I don't need anybody to promote me in the kingdom. You don't need your pastor to promote you. You can be it. Look, everybody said this. You decide to be a leader. You say, I am a leader. And I'm going to talk like a leader. I'm going to walk like a leader. And I'm going to be a leader. And then you become a leader. God will just say, oh, that person. Oh, so come. It's God that promotes. But you must make a choice that you are a leader. Some people, they are, it's going to be nice. You know, some people will just want promotion. You know, amen? You must just be like David. Manning your own business. Looking after the sheep. You know? And that God himself picks you to become a king. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I am praying. And I pray that all of us will come to a place where we self-develop. We set our goals to develop our spiritual life. You set your goals that, look, I'm not going to be dependent on this and that and that. If you see a gap and you have a gift for it, you say, Father, I've got this gift. And then you start to do that ministry. Amen? And then as you start to do that ministry, God will give you the grace. And then it starts to grow. And then your pastor then starts supporting you. Okay? Because it's not everything I'll see. I don't have the grace that all of us have. Some of you, you've got a grace with people. That special grace. And as you exercise it in the church, it will grow. One lady was giving a testimony of one of our members in this church. She's saying that had this individual not followed her up and kept telling her things, you know, she would have gone the other way around. She said, have you not been telling her, look, do this, don't follow the world, do this, do this. Amen. So as you've been telling her that, that has sown a seed in her life, and she's taking that instructions and it's helping her grow and developing the things of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So we must lead by example. Look, prepare yourself and be the light. Even in the church, you must be a light to somebody. You must lead by example in such a way that they look at your life and they want to be like you. Amen? Do you know that our leaders become like us? You see, as we are imitating Christ, people are also imitating us. So what image do you want people to walk by? What testimony do you want people to say, look, this, by hanging around this individual, I've become like this. Do you know that we become the people we hang around? My wife and I are becoming alike every time. We don't realize it. Our values are becoming sharper and sharper. We are becoming one. We are not one yet. Because we don't agree on absolutely everything yet. But we are becoming one in understanding. As we grow in our relationship, you're becoming one. So when you're around somebody, you're becoming one. And that's how the church wants. We should become one. We should grow in unity. And that's where that comes from discipleship. As we disciple people, they become like you. They become kind like you. They become prayerful like you. Amen? You know, if you've got anger, they'll get that as well. If you've got a sweet spirit, they'll get a sweet spirit. They'll look like, oh, what Marcel did, I'll do. And they'll become like you. Next thing you know, they're like you. I mean, I see churches, when you see a particular, I can see people in a different church and I can know which church they're going to just by looking at them. In my workplace, I see some people, they're so successful and I know which church they're coming from. Amen? Because you can see certain principles, you can see there's a spirit about them that looks like their pastor. Amen? So we should be that person that we want people to follow. We must all aim to be like Christ. But we all need people to help us. Everybody needs somebody to disciple them. Amen? And before you can have all these things that I'm saying, you must be born again. Because if you are not born again, you will not be able to enjoy these things that I'm talking about. You must ask God to come into your life. And as you make that decision, that Father, I want you to take over my life. Then God comes and lives out of you. And then the chain starts to break in your life. Then it starts to beautify your life. The old things become a history. Amen? And you start to see growth in you. You start to see that you're flourishing. You're growing. You're more happier than before. All the stress and the burdens are going. All the chains are being broken in your life. Amen? You know, you're resurrected with Christ. Because when you get baptized, it says the old man is dead and the new man was resurrected. You're resurrected in Christ. Amen? Amen. So you are sharing the resurrection with Christ. The same power that rose Christ from the dead has also risen you from your old nature. Amen. And that's what the Bible says, that you are now a new creation. The old things have passed away and everything else has become new. So brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that God is on your side. But we must make a decision that we don't like where we are and we want to be somewhere better. Amen? Amen. We want to become like Jesus. Yes. We want to become the image of Christ, not just focusing our biceps. The men focus on their biceps and how muscles they have, and they go to the gym and they lift hours on lifting, but their inside is rotting. So we must work from the inside out. Says the person next to you, inside out. You see, when you work on your inside, it comes out of you. Have you ever seen, sometimes you can see somebody, very beautiful woman, beautiful, but when she speaks, everybody's run away. She's nice on the outside, but the inside is rotting. Amen? So we must become a people that, you can see somebody that doesn't look that good, but their inside is so beautiful. And they look attractive. Amen? Amen. Isn't it? Amen.
So it's not by the outward appearance, because God does not look about how we look on the outside. God looks on the inside of you. And when God is going to judge you, he's going to look at you inside. How you're striving to become like him. Your every decision that you make is because you want to become like your father. Amen? And one of the things I don't want my children to say is I don't want to become like daddy. I've done that before. You don't want your children or anybody to say, I don't want to be like you. You want your children to say, I want to be like daddy. Amen? That is proud. Amen? So we must live our lives in such a way that we, even not just in our church, but in our homes as well, our children want to be like us. Can we all stand?
Remember to subscribe to our weekly podcast and also visit us at www.genesisclf.org.